Hi, welcome to another episode of the Secret Guide to Fundraising podcast. I'm Ella, Givergy's Client Services Director. As a team of fundraising experts, we help clients to raise as much money as possible online and at events. If you're an avid listener of the show, you may have noticed we've been speaking about the role influencers can play in amplifying nonprofit campaigns this season. As the online world is becoming more prevalent in all of our lives, it's essential for nonprofits to understand how to engage current and future donors in this space. So today, I'm delighted to say we have two fantastic guests with us who could not be better placed to understand the intersection between influencers and nonprofits. Samantha Bell is a cat content strategist from Best Friends Animal Society. As a seasoned animal welfare professional and an educator, Samantha helps to educate through conferences, training, speaker engagements, webinars, and social media. Crucially, outside of her role at Best Friends, Samantha is a notable cat influencer on Instagram and TikTok with over 30,000 followers. She also serves on the board of Mission Meow, a nonprofit organization providing grants to small feline-centric nonprofits across the United States. Joining us with Samantha is social media fundraising expert Emily Rakoban. Emily works with Best Friends Animal Society too, managing their social media fundraising strategy and creating content that will amplify Best Friends campaigns. Outside of her day job, Emily has over 300,000 followers on her Instagram, where she posts about cats and animal welfare. Together, both of our guests know the demands of working in a nonprofit, as well as how to build and maintain an impressive online following that can be used to raise awareness. So I'm very excited to prick their brains today. So without any further delay, hello, Samantha and Emily. How are you both doing today?
Hi. Well, I'm doing well. There is an atmospheric river in Los Angeles, if you've ever heard of what that is. So we have some weather, which we're not used to here, but I'm doing well for Monday morning. Emily?
Yeah, I'm doing well too. It's been a busy morning, but yeah, doing well and excited to be here.
Great. Well, we're very used to the weather over here, so you've got no sympathy from me as you get a little bit of rain once in a while.
I know. From Emily either. Emily's got weather all the time too. We're just not used to it here.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned in the introduction that you both are influencers and both work for Best Friends Animal Society. So can we just start by explaining a little bit about what you do, how you balance those two roles in your lives?
So I am an influencer. I have been slacking for the past year and a half. I went through, my cat died and I just didn't, you know, the whole account was kind of about my cat. So it kind of, but I'm coming back. But I do a lot of the influencing, and I also work for Best Friends as the cat behavior expert for Best Friends. And one of my jobs is to create a video every single week for our Best Friends national Instagram and TikTok and Facebook and everything. And it's just kind of like to inspire people to adopt or foster, or to help them with the issues they're having with their cat once their cat's in their homes, so to try to keep the cats from coming back to the shelter, just trying to give them that info. And so I have to make a couple of videos a week for work. And so because of that, that's another reason why I haven't been doing as well with my own personal account, is because when you're making videos for work, it's tough to after work want to make more videos. But I'm learning to balance that. And this past couple weeks, I have been doing much better.
Great. It sounds really exciting. And Emily?
Yeah. So I am the social media fundraising specialist at Best Friends. That's kind of my full-time job. And yeah, very similar to Sam, it can sometimes be a little tough to, you know, do something for your job and then also want to do it in your spare time as well. But I think that we've both seen the payoff of creating content for our own channels, and that can be very exhilarating. So it definitely makes it, you know, a challenge to do both, but also can be fun. And, you know, trying to create different content for our own platforms than Best Friends. But yeah, it's really fun. And I think we both really enjoy it.
We do. And Emily's had a huge success in the past couple of years. And I know, because we started out like with the same on Instagram. And now, how many followers do you have now?
I have, let me just take a look quick. I am currently at 317,000 followers on Instagram and like 480,000 on TikTok, I think.
Yeah, that's like almost a million followers right there. Like that is so, that is a mega influencer. You are amazing. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited for you to kind of jump back in the ring with creating content because you create such fun and funny content. And I remember like when we both first started getting into it, you had been doing it for a while and I just learned so much from you. And, you know, the last year and a half, I've definitely been doing a lot of content. So I'm excited for you to get back in the ring.
I don't know how you do it. You've got basically your own rescue at home. You've got a full-time job and then you're also just pushing out this gorgeous, amazing, hilarious content and heartwarming. And it's just wonderful. And we both love each other. And we're both very proud of each other.
Yeah, you should be. Amazing.
There's like when you sometimes are in the same space, there can be some competition, but I don't think that we've ever felt any sort of competition with each other. Like we're just very excited when either one of us has any sort of win.
So excited. So happy for her. And we used to work together in Los Angeles and Emily moved away back home and I miss her and I wish she still lived here, but that's not part of this podcast. Go ahead.
And also, I guess your goal is the same, right? So the competition, like both of you are wanting the same thing for the animal welfare, et cetera. Yes. So that helps. If there's more people looking at that content, then that's the better thing, right?
It's so true. Like, you know, just educating people through her videos that are going viral of just people learning about fostering kittens in general, people that had no idea that was even a thing, you know? So you want everyone in the space to succeed. For the movements.
Yes, absolutely.
And have you always both wanted to be influencers, grow a following? Is that something that you've always wanted to do? Or what actually came first? Is it sort of best friends or is the influencing space or do they come together? How did that work?
Well, I'm old, so I didn't know about influencers. So I just started the Instagram account in like 2012. And I posted this one photo of my cat Desmond that was so ridiculously cute that we like that day got like 2000 followers. And I was like, what? Okay. And then I'd post my normal stuff and it was, you know, 2012. So I was posting like my breakfast and coffee and people were like, nope, losing followers. They just want the cats. And so I was like, okay, then I'll post more cats. It was never with the intention of influencing. And this was 2012 when, you know, there was like this whole Cats of Instagram community and we'd meet up every year and all these things. So it was more of just a community-based hobby. And then it just turned into it. Emily?
Yeah. You know, I'm a little younger, but not that much younger.
You're half my age.
No, I'm not. I'm not half your age. But no, I like definitely, you know, influencers weren't a thing when I was growing up. But I, you know, I moved initially to Los Angeles because I wanted to be an actress. And I realized that I didn't really actually want that. But I've always really loved like performing and connecting with people. And so when I started like really fostering and I loved sharing the animal stories on social media, and that was probably in like 2019, 2020 time, and you know, starting and then seeing how well people responded to that, it definitely kind of gave me a push to want to do more influencer type things. But it never really came from the aspect of wanting to be an influencer. It was more just like wanting to share these stories and create fun content and kind of cultivate a community online. And that just kind of is synonymous with being an influencer. So yeah, it's not something that I set out to do, but I'm glad that it happened.
Yeah, absolutely. And Samantha was saying you've always got your own rescue at home as well. So you've got a lot of things to post. Is that right?
That's right. Yes. Yeah. I mean, technically it's not a rescue yet, but I'm in the process of getting my nonprofit certification. So it's definitely a little busy over here, but there's always a surplus of content when you have a bunch of cute kittens in your house.
Yeah. And puppies. She's got some cute puppies too,
and
which
puppies.
Is like,
yeah, you're puppies too.
You know, she can get both of the animal lovers are excited and her puppies are so cute.
they are. I get some really cute puppies.
The perks of the job, for sure.
Yeah, it's fun.
Okay. And we know in general the internet connection between influencers and nonprofits is a fairly new concept. Do you find as influencers, you get more brands reach out to you over sort of charities? What do you think is the outreach?
Yeah, no, so definitely more brands. Like I get probably at least 10 brand emails per day. I get very few, if really any. I think I've gotten like a few messages ever from nonprofits. And yeah, most of it is from brands. I don't think that nonprofits have fully entered the space there yet. And it's also kind of, you know, challenging too, because sometimes, you know, if they are like location specific nonprofits, like they're located across the country, it can be a little bit difficult and, you know, doesn't always make a ton of sense to work with an influencer that's like, you know, I live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, like a California rescue might not have really any interest in working with me, or there might not be a ton of payoff there. Whereas a brand, you know, it really doesn't matter as much. So I think that definitely plays a part in it. But yeah, I haven't really done much with nonprofits outside of Best Friends.
I have done a couple, actually. I mean, it's definitely more brands than nonprofits, but I have had several because they've asked me to speak at just like at virtual events and things. I've done, I think, I don't know, just like two or three of them, but they'll, you know, because my bio on all my socials is that I'm a cat expert and a cat behavior expert. And I do a lot of article writing and videos on that. So I think in that aspect, there have been like three or four where they're like, oh, we're going to do this, you know, virtual. Would you speak to our volunteers about blank? And there's no pay involved. And I do it. I can't say no to a nonprofit. Like, I don't know. It's easier to say no to the brands where I'm like, eh, you'll be fine. But with the nonprofits, my heart is just like, okay, sure, I'll do it. And I've done a couple of the speaking, and there's like right now I'm mentoring a shelter that's Florida, I think they are. And it was through Instagram, and like they won this contest from another site, and they were like, oh, you can have someone that will coach you in your kitten fostering and everything. So I'm helping them every other Saturday morning. So like there are some rescue things that I'm doing, but I try to always do those. I feel sorry for them. You know, I know what it's like.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what tips would you give charities or nonprofits reaching out to an influencer to get them to work with them just like they've managed to with you?
Well, I actually have a lot of insight on this one, because I used to work before my current position. I was in celebrity relations, and our entire job, you know, 40 hours a week, was just reaching out to publicists to try to get the celebrities to support us. And from that, I learned that, you know, it's all about how kind you are to the publicist, if there is one, you know, and that we always want to offer them something in return rather than just asking for something. There's got to be some way that we can mention their latest project and definitely put their website and just different things on there, because you always want to give somebody something when you're asking for something. And just as an example of how competitive this space is, there's an actress that we were working with, and she agreed to do something for us. And it's a very unknown person. I mean, yes, she's done like some Hallmark movies, and her sister has been in a movie, you know, but she's technically a celebrity. And she told us that she gets 80 to 100 requests a week from nonprofits asking her to support them. And this is someone I wouldn't have even heard of if I hadn't done the job. So just knowing that there's this person out there, and this is the same for influencers, you know, that to have 80 to 100 requests from nonprofits, you really have to stand out somehow. And we send Christmas gifts, you know, like branded cute merch for Christmas gifts. We offer them, come visit our sanctuary and stay there. We just always try to stand out somehow, and just really, it's tough.
And Emily, what about you? What's your experience with that?
With working with nonprofits?
Yeah, or just being reached out to by a nonprofit and how they sort of approached that.
Yeah, I really haven't gotten any nonprofits reaching out to me. I've really only had brands, so I unfortunately don't really have a lot to add to that part.
I'm surprised you haven't. You have so much experience in the fostering. I'm surprised a nonprofit hasn't reached out.
I think that just
proves
who this is, right? For nonprofits, and everybody's starting to figure that out. Here at Givergy, we're getting a lot of questions from charities on, you know, how we can approach that space a little bit more, which is why this series
of podcasts
is around all of this, to really try and educate them and get them confident in feeling that actually we can do this and like figuring out those tips. So that in itself, you know, Emily, having had no one reach out, proves that, you know, we're very early, and hopefully we see that change, because I do think, you know, it's going to make a big difference for nonprofits when they do get it right and, you know, ultimately raise more. So we're hoping that people start to do that.
And we have one of our staff members who's influencer relations, and we're a nonprofit. Now, granted, we're a very big nonprofit, but we actually do have staff that is influencer relations, Ash. And, you know, I know, like, Emily, I don't think she's done it in a while, but she'd send me the same emails that she'd send the influencers to, like, ask me to post, you know, like, just be like, hey, this is our current adoption special that's going on. Could you just post about it? And one thing we also learned in celebrity relations is if you do want an influencer or celebrity to post, you want to make it as easy as possible. So you send them a sample copy, you put you attach the photos and say, here's the Instagram photo, here is the Instagram story photo. You do all the everything for them and send them the copy and just, you know, ask them to post, but also let them know that they can put their own personality in there and their own spin on it, that we're just helping them in case they don't have time to think of something to post. Here, just please, I don't know how effective it is. You know, like, we do it with celebrities too. You know, just we'll send out hundreds of emails just saying, here are the photos, here's the information, can you please post this on your socials? And I don't know if it's effective, but that's kind of the approach that Best Friends does.
Yeah. And I think from the podcast before, it's more about, well, that to make it as easy as possible, but also making sure that they're aligning, their message is aligning with your cause, right? So you need to make sure that if you're speaking to a lot of different influencers, that they are saying things that you want them to say and the right content. So yeah, I think it's important though for charities to make sure that they're getting that messaging right, so things are being posted correctly.
Yeah, and selecting influencers that align with your values too.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah. And how can an influencer support a nonprofit? So obviously we're speaking about Instagram posts. Is it generally like a one story, one post? What would you say is how they can support or how you support?
I think it definitely depends on the influencer and, you know, what they are able to do. I think really anything that, you know, an influencer can do is great. You know, especially when someone has, you know, a significant following, if they are an influencer full time, sometimes it may be more difficult to, you know, have them do a lot for you, especially, you know, because most of that is going to be unpaid. So I think it just really depends on the influencer. But I think kind of just, you know, reaching out to them with like, you know, a concept and what, you know, the goal of the campaign would be. And then the influencer can kind of give you an idea of what they're able to do is generally at least how I approach things.
Yeah. You know, I think as like the introductory, like the gateway thing, just asking for something little and then making sure that their experience with your organization is really positive and great. So that the next time you can ask for a little more. And sometimes they want to do way more than what you ask them. You know, we have sometimes a lot of like Twitch streamers will do a stream where they donate money and they'll ask, like, I've brought kittens to a couple Twitch streams and the streamers love it. Their audience, their chat loves it because, oh my gosh, you know, like, yes, they're used to looking at the streamer sitting in their room gaming, but now there are kittens and they get, you know, more followers because of it and they're donating the money and they feel really great. And I think just, you know, it's the same with volunteers for any organization. You just want to make sure that your influencers feel so appreciated and just so that you're just so happy that they're doing, no matter what it is, just to feel like, and to even let them know that they made a difference somehow. So sometimes after our, we'd do a big push for celebrities to email and everything like that. And then the ones that did, we would send a follow-up to say, thank you so much. This is how much money we raised total. And this is what we were able to do with that money, so that they have this sense of, oh my gosh, like I did that. And just follow, rather than just thanking them, just following up with thing, you know, just the outcome of how they made a difference is something that is motivating, I think, to them. But it is like what I was saying, like in the last, it's just such competition to get influencers or to get celebrities. There are so many nonprofits asking for them. So just trying to stand out somehow.
Yeah, absolutely. And this sort of feeds us on quite nicely to what an influencer can get in return. So there's a little bit of debate about the money side of things, especially when it comes to nonprofits. So how do you see that as a challenge? And do you think that for an influencer to support a nonprofit, there is a monetary element involved that they have to pay?
So personally, I would not ever want money from a nonprofit. You know, there are enough brands out there to, you know, get some money from that. I personally don't want money from nonprofits ever, but there are nonprofits that do pay their influencers. You know, I mean, like St. Jude's, those, do you know St. Jude's? Those yeah. commercials, they like Jennifer Aniston and stuff like that. They pay millions, ASPCA, like they have this huge budget for them and they do pay. But for me, I would prefer to help just because I've been there. I would prefer to help the smaller charities that don't have the money, just because you know what an impact you're making. That's just me personally. That's what I would not want to be paid by a nonprofit ever. I did for a couple of the speaking events I did, you know, they sent me like a little gift basket afterwards as a thank you. And that is more than enough. Like that is so sweet because I know it's money is a challenge. It's a nonprofit. I work at a nonprofit. I'm not, I get it.
Both sides of the experience. I think that probably helps, right? And
yeah,
the sort of charity, the nonprofit side of things, rather than your influencing side of things. What do you think is, you know, what are your biggest challenges in that regard? Obviously you're creating the videos, which is great, but what do you think your biggest challenges are?
When I'm supporting a nonprofit?
Well, from the nonprofit side rather than the influencer side. Yeah.
The biggest challenges are not being able to pay them.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's just, you know, because influencers are getting money thrown at them from so many people that it's really hard to get them when you're not paying them. So that is tricky. And standing out amongst all the other requests they're getting so many, and those are probably offering money and you're not. And so it is, I think that is tricky. And also ensuring that the influencers that you're working with, that their values align with the organization, that is really tricky. You really need to, you know, look through their accounts and just make sure that this person has the kind of energy and the kind of, you know, just persona that embodies what you want. Best friends, we're very wholesome, you know, very positive, very wholesome. And so when we're looking at influencers, we don't want, I mean, there could be influencers that are amazing that love animals, but they're kind of, you know, snarky or something like that, where that's just not our brand. So we just have to really stay on brand.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know. I totally agree with that. I think like kind of going back to like the whole payment thing on the influencer side, like, yeah, I would never, I mean, I guess I wouldn't say never, but I definitely wouldn't accept money from a nonprofit organization unless it was like a massive campaign where, you know, there was a ton of things that they needed from me, you know, where like I have to do, like where there's like specific expectations that I would need to meet, like, you know, a certain number of videos that I would need to make or, you know, something like that. But if it's just like a nonprofit asking me to, you know, post about their campaign or something like that, I definitely would not take money for that. And then on the nonprofit side of things, I don't really reach out to influencers that much for my job. But I know just speaking with our influencer specialist, kind of just like Sam said, like it can be tricky to find influencers who are able to work for free. I wouldn't even say who want to. Some, you know, some aren't, like, if that is what they are doing to support themselves, you know, it can be hard to, you know, and ask to take up a spot on their feed. But and then I think the other difficult part can sometimes just be getting in contact with influencers. You know, some are quite big, and so finding, like, getting in contact with them, there's kind of a lot of roadblocks there as far as, like, getting an email or getting, you know, to be, actually get into contact with them. And sometimes they're, you know, if they have agents, their agent will just kind of shut it down right away. So that can definitely be tricky. But yeah, I'd say that those are kind of the more difficult parts.
That is so true. Getting a hold of them. That is such a good point.
Yeah, and I can imagine it. I can imagine it. We're almost out of time, which is really sad because I'm very much enjoying this conversation. But before we do go, what would you say your favorite memory has been in working in the nonprofit sector and the influencer space?
So definitely my favorite memory, it's more than a memory. It's just like an experience of working in nonprofit is, you know, now I have the luxury of working from home and, you know, traveling and all these things with my job. But I think those years that I was actually working in the shelter and, you know, working with the team and cleaning every day and watching cats find their homes and just celebrating with them and just being in that space, which is so hard. It is so hard, but it's such a wonderful memory to look back on, that just knowing that everyone in a nonprofit makes a huge difference in some way. But I mean, it's true. Those people that are actually there in the shelters that are cleaning and watching these animals come in and get returned and pass away and just all these different things, like, you're just, it is such a life-changing experience. And it's something I wouldn't change for the world. And I'm so grateful that I started out that way. Emily and I both did. There are a lot of people that are in communications department that just, you know, they just came in and they didn't experience that, the hard stuff, and we did. And I think that's, like, my favorite experience of working in a nonprofit. Emily?
My favorite, I mean, it's not like a specific memory, but kind of similar to that, is when I worked at my local Humane Society for many years. And one of the things that, like, was really, really special about working there was we would, you know, occasionally have, like, large cases that we would assist on. So hoarding cases or large scale neglect cases and things like that. And kind of seeing not just, like, you know, our team coming together for these animals, but the community coming together and just seeing, you know, a whole lot of people who probably have very different interests in life. And, you know, we maybe wouldn't connect in if not for that. Like, getting to see everyone working so hard for kind of one common goal has been a really special part about working in nonprofit. And even though I'm not, you know, even though I do work from home now, like, still getting to see that. And, you know, even if I'm not necessarily directly involved, it's still just, like, really special to see that happen. And then my favorite part of, like, the influencer side of things, I think, would be, like, meeting people and connecting through social media. So, like, it's so funny, like, all these people that I used to look up to and that I used to, like, you know, learn from, like, those are now people that I talk to on a regular basis on social media, which is so funny. Or, you know, the excitement that when someone follows you back who you've been following for a while, and you get to kind of create those new connections. I think that's honestly my favorite part about social media. And, you know, there's always going to be some negativity on social media, but just seeing how many people will come to your defense and who will stand up for you and tell you, you know, how much they admire you and what a good job you're doing. Like, it's very reassuring to have that and just to kind of create those really special connections. So I would say that those are, you know, a lot of my favorite parts of both sides revolve around, you know, community and people coming together.
Yeah, incredible.
And that's what we need right now, is community and people coming. Like, that's what we need to help get, at least in our country, to help get us to stop killing so many animals in shelters, is that we need the community to come together. So that's wonderful, Emily.
Yeah, thanks.
Extremely inspirational. And it's if nothing else, I think a lot of people are going to be following you after this conversation from our audience. Oh. No, in all seriousness, I think, yeah, the audience is obviously mainly fundraisers, you know, nonprofits who are looking to get into this space. And I think there's a lot of good tips and tricks there, which is going to encourage them to want to take the leap and work with some incredible people like yourselves. So thank you very much for the conversation. It was really lovely to meet you both. And yeah, we shall hopefully be in touch very soon.
Thank you so much. And thank you for all you do. Thanks for having us.